Greetings, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. Welcome to the Brian Daysburg Podcast, Christian Living in a Complicated World. I'm your host, Brian Daysburg, lead pastor of Alliance Bible Church, located in beautiful, wintry southeast Wisconsin. In his best-selling book, The God Delusion, atheist Richard Dawkins argues that you cannot be an intelligent scientific thinker and still believe in God. He contends that those two things are incompatible. Or, to put it slightly differently, science has killed religion. I get it. Modern people struggle with science's relationship to religion primarily because of the miraculous that is recorded in many world religions, not just Christianity. Unless there is a scientific explanation for how the waters of the Red Sea could possibly part, or that Jesus could walk on water or raise a dead girl to life, unless there are scientific explanations, there's no reason to believe these things happened. And it follows then that if these miraculous events couldn't have possibly happened, Christianity is rendered null and void. And so it's a big deal for Christians. If I had to make a short retort to that idea, here's what I would say. In order for you to prove to me that miracles could not happen or do not exist, you must prove to me that God does not exist. This is how I would do a brief retort to that. Here's why. For Christians, if God exists, isn't it kind of easy to believe in the miraculous? If God exists, there's nothing really that difficult about believing in miracles. If God, who is infinite and omnipotent, can speak galaxies into existence, he can probably manage to arrange to have the Red Sea part without a whole lot of difficulty. Believing in miracles is easy if you believe in God. Now, I am not a scientist by trade or training. Most of you aren't either. I'm approaching this as an average Joe who's just thinking about this the way most non-professional scientists would. And I don't want this podcast to make it sound like I'm pitting Christianity against science. Far from it. On the last day, when God settles all matters according to his perfect judgment, the Bible rightly interpreted and science rightly understood will be shown to be perfectly harmonious. And so this podcast is not meant to be a science bashing polemic. I merely want to think critically about whether or not science should be the final court of appeal when weighing the truthfulness of God, Jesus, the Bible, Christianity. And so to do that, I want to think like an average Joe to consider where science may have some limitations we need to concede. I'm going to talk specifically about four limitations that I see, I think others see as well, four limitations of science. Four limitations of science. Number one, science accounts for natural causes, not non-natural causes. Science accounts for natural causes, not non-natural causes. In his book, The Reason for God, Tim Keller writes this. He says, "It is one thing to say that science is only equipped to test for natural causes and cannot speak to any others. It is quite another to insist that science proves that no other causes could possibly exist." When you think about it, you realize that natural causes are the only kind of causes science can measure. Science cannot prove non-natural causes exist or have ever existed. This is not a knock against science. It's a limitation of its own system. It's not geared for that. Scientific methodology is geared solely towards observing and measuring natural causes. I once saw a TV special on one of the channels you ordinarily skip on the way to the one you really want. And this show was all about providing a scientific explanation for the parting of the Red Sea recorded in Exodus. The scientists were searching for a variety of natural causes which would explain this event, and they used every tool their trade had to offer. And it was really a fascinating show. I mean, the experiments they conducted were sophisticated, they were elaborate, but in the end, they concluded this was scientifically an unlikely event. And my reaction was, yes, I agree with you. Scientifically, very unlikely. But the assumption made by the scientists in the program is that natural causes must be the primary cause behind the waters parting. Well, the problem is science can't prove natural causes are the only kind of causes that exist. What if there was another set of causes that would explain why the Red Sea parted? What if those causes behind the parting of the Red Sea were not natural ones? In that case, science isn't going to be able to account for it. So if supernatural causes do exist, science can't prove it or disprove it. It's not geared to. The whole system of science is limited to observing and measuring natural causes. That's the first limitation. Second limitation is science can't prove to be true everything people believe. Science can't prove to be true everything people believe. Think about this question. Is there anything people believe that can't be proven scientifically? Is there anything people hold to be true that can't be proven scientifically? Several years ago, an American Christian philosopher, William Lane Craig, debated a British atheist scientist, Peter Atkins. And you can find this debate on YouTube still to this day. In the debate, you'll note that Peter Atkins holds to a traditional view of scientism. Scientism is the belief that people should believe only what can be proven scientifically. In his own words, he believes in the omnipotence of science. And Dr. Craig ticks off a list of five things that cannot be proven scientifically, but we are rational to believe. I'm not going to go through all five of those right now. I'm going to mention two of the clearest ones, most easily understandable ones. One of them that he talks about, Dr. Craig talks about, is the fact that the scientific method cannot prove morality. He talks about the fact that science can't prove the experiments the Nazi scientists did in the concentration camps are any better or worse than the experiments conducted by the scientists of Western democracy. Just because naturalistic science can't prove what the Nazis did is evil doesn't mean we are irrational to believe it was evil. Probably the vast majority of people in human history since Hitler do believe what they did was evil, but the scientific method can't prove that. The other one Dr. Craig mentions is beauty. There is no way to use naturalistic science to prove a sunset is beautiful. There's no way to use naturalistic science to prove anything is beautiful. Now, does that mean human beings are irrational to believe in beauty? Well, most human beings do admire beauty and believe beauty does exist, even though we can't prove it scientifically. If we are reasonable to believe Nazi science was evil, and if we're reasonable to believe sunsets are beautiful, even though neither can be proven scientifically, are there other areas of our world and life we are reasonable to believe, even though science can't prove it? Well, think about this. Naturalistic science cannot prove God exists. But that doesn't mean we are irrational to believe he does. Naturalistic science cannot prove the Red Sea never parted, but that doesn't mean we are irrational to believe it did. Naturalistic science cannot prove Jesus was never crucified or raised from the dead, but that doesn't mean we are irrational to believe he was. So there are numerous areas of our world and existence that we are rational to accept, even though science cannot prove it. Third limitation, science isn't the only option for determining what is true. Imagine a conversation between a skeptic and a Christian. A skeptic says, "I don't believe in Christianity." Christian says, "Why not?" "Because science can prove some of the stuff in the Bible isn't possible. There's no way it could have happened." Christian responds, "So science is what you use to determine what is true?" "Yes," says the skeptic. The Christian comes back and says, "Well, how did you decide science is what you would use to determine what is true? How did you go about making that decision?" Well, the skeptic might say, "Well, I don't know. I guess I found it compelling. It offers concrete solutions. It works with unassailable math." The Christian could say, "So you decided you would use science to determine what is true?" "Yeah, of course," says the skeptic. The Christian could at this point say, "Well, am I permitted the same privilege?" "And what privilege is that?" "The privilege of, like you, deciding for myself what I will use to determine what is true." Well, skeptic says, "I guess so. I don't want to refuse you something that I grant to myself." The Christian says, "Great, I choose Scripture. Scripture is what I'll use to determine what is true. Scripture says Jesus died on the cross and was raised 3 days later." The skeptic says, "Not possible." Christian says, "Why not?" Skeptic says, "Science can prove it." Christian says, "Now, wait a minute. You're using your self-declared highest authority to critique my self-declared highest authority. Is that a privilege you will grant to me also?" The skeptic says, "Well, what privilege is that?" The Christian says, "Well, you just used your highest authority, science, to critique my highest authority, Scripture. Am I permitted that privilege as well?" The skeptic says, "I guess so. I don't want to refuse you something I grant to myself." The Christian says, "Great, Jesus died on the cross and was raised 3 days later because my highest authority clearly says so." Now, recognize the limitation I'm going after here. Science isn't the only option for determining what is true. I hope you see what's happening in the conversation. Someone who disbelieves the Bible is giving themselves the freedom to decide for themselves what they will use to determine what is and isn't true. As a Christian, all I'm trying to do is to get the skeptic to grant me the same privilege they've given themselves. I'm not at all trying to convince them Christianity is true. All I'm doing is getting them to give me the same privilege they've given themselves in deciding what they'll use to determine what is true. Understand, the conversation will likely end in a stalemate. It may not go anywhere, but the skeptic will walk away realizing that if he's going to give science a chair at the table, he has to give the Bible a chair at the table as well. So first three limitations of science. I've got one more. Number one, science accounts for natural causes, not non-natural causes. Number two, science can't prove to be true everything people believe. And three, science isn't the only option for determining what is true. Last, and this is particularly important, I think, for Christians, where there's someone in their life that very scientifically minded, struggling with all this stuff. The fourth limitation is this: science alone can't convince people of spiritual truth. Science alone can't convince people of spiritual truth. Let me give you two examples from the New Testament about this. After Jesus' resurrection, something very interesting occurred. We read about this in Matthew's gospel. It says, "Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted." So here you have the resurrected Jesus standing in front of their noses, and still some of them doubted. What more scientific proof do you need? He's right there. You can see him with your own eyes and hear him with your own ears. In spite of having compelling scientific evidence, some of the disciples still doubted. Now think about this. In 2,000 years, nothing has changed. Nothing has changed. Some modern people think the disciples were primitive and gullible and believed just about anything, but that's simply not true. Here you have first century men struggling with the idea of the miraculous, even as Jesus is standing in front of them talking to them. These men are struggling with the same stuff 21st century people struggle with. Now, if you're listening to this and that's you, if you struggle with the idea of the miraculous, I want you to be encouraged by this. The disciples had Jesus standing in front of them, talking to them, and they still doubted. And so you're not alone. All of these men who were struggling with the idea of the miraculous eventually became leaders in the church. Give it time. Be patient. Science alone can't convince people of spiritual truth. That's the first example. Second example is from Luke 16. It's from a parable that Jesus taught. Lazarus is in heaven, enjoying the perfect presence of God. He was poor and tortured in this life. He died, went to heaven, perfect presence of God. The rich man at whose gate the poor man Lazarus sat, the rich man is in torment in Hades. The rich man begs Abraham to send Lazarus back to his brothers to warn them so they won't share his fate. Here's what it says. Abraham replied, "They have Moses and the prophets. Let them listen to them." That is, the rich man, his brothers who are still alive, they have the Bible. They can listen to the Bible. You don't need me to send Lazarus back to them to warn them. And so the rich man replies and says, "No, Father Abraham," he said, "but if someone from the dead goes to them, they will repent." He said to them, "If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead." Jesus's words here are absolutely astonishing. The rich man is saying his brothers need scientific proof that heaven and hell are real. That's why he wants Lazarus to come back from the dead and make a personal visit to them. Jesus is saying if they don't believe the Bible, scientific proof won't convince them either. Science alone can't convince people of spiritual truth. Now, you might need science to prove the area of a circle is pi r squared, but science isn't equipped to prove heaven and hell are real. Jesus is saying science cannot provide the kind of convincing needed to save people from their sin. He is saying the kind of convincing people need to be saved from their sin and experience eternal life comes through the Bible, not science. And so this is a deep and penetrating limitation of science. Science alone can't convince people of spiritual truth. It's not meant to. Robert Jastrow received his PhD in theoretical physics from Columbia University. He was an astronomer, physicist, cosmologist. He was a leading NASA scientist, initially an agnostic. Jastrow later changed his mind, and he became a Christian. Famously, he once said this, and I'll conclude with it. He said, "At this moment, it seems as though science will never be able to raise the curtain on the mystery of creation. For the scientist who has lived by his faith in the power of reason, the story ends like a bad dream. He has scaled the mountains of ignorance. He is about to conquer the highest peak. As he pulls himself over the final rock, he is greeted by a band of theologians who have been sitting there for centuries." Wonderful image to conclude with. Thanks for tuning into the Brian Ainsworth podcast, and we will see you next time.